and because of that, many of them felt that these experts have the right evaluation. But is not always a sin. You can't help it, they said. You cannot plant Torah in Chicago. You cannot plant Torah in St. Louis. You cannot plant Torah in Los Angeles. Just impossible. But Rabutnia, from the first day he came, because of his dedication and his fervor and his effervescence, so he decided there is not a piece of land on the Kadur Haaretz that is not adapted for planting Torah. But, as the Novi says, as the Novi Nishaya says, Hininosati Gori Bificho, Ufziliotai Kisisicho, Vintea Shomayim, Vinisi Doretz, Vilema Litzien, Amiat. We have Shomayim, a spiritual world, can be cultivated by means of planting, by means of sowing. A material world, a mundane world, the Oretz, can be built. The way you build a building, a condominium, all right? If you have enough workers, you can build up a condominium, even like the Empire State Building, in a relatively short time. It's a question of materials and manpower. You can do it. But a plantation, you cannot be there to show a plantation. You can have millions of workers. You cannot produce a vineyard in 1 year. It takes time. Certain trees takes more years. Certain trees, it takes less years. A shamayim to build a shamayim, you can't build a shamayim the way you build a condominium, an Empire State Building. You have to plant it the way you plant a tree. You have to put in seeds. Now, you put in seeds, so according to statistics, so not even 100, one out of 100 seeds culminates in a tree. You have to sow many seeds, and if you sow many seeds on all pieces of land, in New York, in New Jersey, in Lakewood, in Philadelphia, in Boston, Los Angeles, in Chicago, in Minneapolis, in Omaha, so then some seeds will result in beautiful plantations. But it's Lentei Hashemayim. The approach must be one of Nitiyeh, not of Binyan, of Nitiyeh. And what does Rav Chaim say in explaining the Rambam? That's why the Rambam says that Hadlokas HaNeiris, so that can be done by Zahar, Lechatchilah. As long as the Zahar can do it, Chutz Lehichot. Why? Because the mitzvah does not consist in the Maisa Hadlokim, but the mitzvah consists in Yoiru Shivas HaNeiris, in the Neiris burning. But Hatobe itself is a Maisa mitzvah. I mean, from a superficial point of view, the reverse would be true. From a superficial point of view, not like our time. On the contrary, what is more important? Cleaning out the old oil, cleaning out the consumed wicks, or the etzem lighting, the kindling of the menorah? The superficial mind would say, of course, the lighting of the menorah, this is the act that sheds light. Sheds light. And especially the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash, according to the Medrash Tanhuma, so in the Rishon there were many more years when the light that was shed by the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash spread all over Yerushalayim. And not a single Jewish home in Yerushalayim had to use light at night, because the light of the menorah in the Bais Rishon, for many years, the Medrash Tanhuma says, emanated light for all the homes in Yerushalayim. So, imagine lighting a menorah that has the potential, certain times in the history of the Jewish people, to emanate light for all the homes of Yerushalayim and compare it to cleaning out the oil, the old used up oil, the consumed, the unclean wicks. What represents a more sublime piece of work? The superficial mind would say, of course, lighting the menorah. Still, the halacha declares, HaTovah Sanayiris is an Avele. HaTovah Sanayiris is Tzulo Bizarri. And HaTovah Sanayiris, the most, according to the superficial mind, HaTovah Sanayiris should constitute the most sublime Avele. This is the act that culminates in the radiation of light for joy. That is not the Avele. That is Ksher Bizarri. But even though it sounds paradoxical, but empirically we know that it's much more difficult to occupy oneself with HaTovah Sanayiris than with HaDlokas Sanayiris. And again, Hav Lipner was a unique Rosh Hashiva. On one hand, many Rosh Hashivas, his contemporaries, by far, delivered many more shiurim. Every perik than Rav Lipner. There were years in Sifter Chaim Berlin when Rav Lipner did not give a shiur more than twice a month. And other Rosh Hashivas give shiurim every day. And still, curiously, he had the care to captivate the imagination of so many families. Why? Because he preoccupied himself primarily with adolescents. By giving private attention to each and every family, and again, that was one of his talents, was Chazal say, Nos Neinot Bei Vinase Gal Shalatzonis. Rav Lipner had the capacity, when he talked to a Talmid, he was able, even with his view, he was able to penetrate into the teich teiche of the psyche of the Talmid. And many Talmidim told me that after they walked out from Rav Lipner's office, they felt that Rav Lipner took notice of all their problems and of all the clandestine thoughts and emotions that lurked in the heart. He had a brilliant talent in taking note, taking cognizance of what bothers it on. And he preoccupied himself primarily with each Talmud individually. And he was a big psychologist. He never studied psychology, but he was probably one of the greatest psychologists in the area of the individual approach. Sometimes I was entertained when I listened to the way Harav Lipner, Zechonu Livroche, guided certain students. I remember one time Harav Lipner wanted, when I was, before I was married, I gave the highest shiur. He appointed me to give the highest shiur for the oldest Talmidim in the Bismedrash. And I gave a shiur every day for the oldest Talmidim. And he gave a shiur once a week for the Bismedrash, or sometimes once in 2 weeks. So he wanted me, I should observe how he guided the Talmidim. So one time, a certain Talmid, I was sitting in his office, came in, and in those days, almost everyone in Chaim Berlin, let's say 32 years ago, that was when I became Rosh Yeshiva Rebbe in Chaim Berlin. So almost everyone, with a few exceptions, went to college. Later years it changed. But in those years, almost everyone went to college. And Rav Lipner guided them what they should major in. So one boy came into Rav Lipner's office and he said he is able, he has strong talent in two areas, in biology and in psychology. Other areas, he doesn't have any talent. So, in what should he major? Should he major in biology or should he major in psychology? Saravutra said to the Talmud, was biology. Psychology is biology, is for you. Then another Talmud came in, half an hour later, and he asked the same question. So, Saravutra said to him, was psychology. Biology is exact. And to this boy, the first boy talked in Yiddish, the other boy talked in English, he had an individual approach. To certain boys he talked in English, to certain boys he talked in Yiddish, to certain boys he talked in Hebrew, and in Spanish, Italian too, so sometimes he talked to a boy in Spanish too. He had an individual approach. Loyally he said, here he said. So the other boy said, was, why psychology? Psychology is not an exact science. Biology is an exact science. It's something that can be shown, demonstrated, empirically. But psychology is so it's not for you. So then, I asked Rav Utna, how is it you gave one town with one answer, which is diametrically opposed to the answer you gave to the other town? So he said, as there is a major in psychology, sein Kopf is nicht for exact science. Psychology, he'll become a professor. Before he gets his PhD, he'll become a professor. And curiously, he had the right prediction. He became a professor of psychology. He was able to evaluate the keches hanefesh of every Talmud. Sometimes a person who didn't have those keches hanefesh thought that it was funny. But it wasn't funny at all. He was devoted to every Talmud. And Harav Hupner knew this pshat in the Reb Chaim, that insofar as Adlokes HaNeiris is concerned, so the mitzvah, the objective, consists in the real Mishivas HaNeiris. Not the Etzimah is Adloke. The Etzimah is Adloke is not going to be. Because once all the preparations were made, all the unclean oil was taken out and thrown and placed away in the Yitzhah Mizbeach, and the new oil was put in, and the psilo, the new wick was placed in such a position that it will be capable. So once it is lit, so Shalema should be able to be well. It's not a big problem to maintain this nail in a burning state. But, as far as the Thomas Anilus is concerned, preparing it, adapting it, it's not so simple. You have to know exactly how much oil to put in, what kind of oil to put in. Not every oil will give a good flame. You have even Shemen Zayis, it has to be Shemen Zayis. But there are all kinds of Shemen Zayis. Not all samples of Shemen Zayis are the same. And you have to put in the exact measure. You have to clean out well. You have to be naki. As a matter of fact, I didn't mention that, but the Havol has one piece of Torah, a very brilliant, remarkable piece of Torah. So he says, there are two mitzvahs of Tishun. One mitzvah of Tishun is where this itself is the Deshen. And then there is a mitzvah of Tishun of cleaning out the Minera. It's two separate mitzvahs. So when you have to raise a generation, when you have to raise Talmidim, and of course the purpose is that you hear Ushivas HaNeiris. After all, the Meneira is symbolic of light, of wisdom, of Chochmah, of fear. So the objective is that you hear Ushivas HaNeiris. But once the Hatoveh was done in a very scrupulous way, then there is no problem with maintaining the Meneira in a burning state. What do you have to do? Just even a child. Once the Meneira is adapted, prepared, all the oil taken out, the new place, the new week placed in the proper position, so that when you light it, it will start burning to the element level. What's the big problem? A child could also do it. It's sheer design. That's why our one fires that are broken by itself does not consider it. But it can be done dissolved too. Not after Bakihani, but after the Samiris. Taking out the old oil, taking out the old wicks, putting in the new oil, putting in new wicks. That is a very burdensome task. That is an avede. It's an avede. It has to be done with solemnity, with trepidation, and it's so bizarre. And it has to be done only by Kehanim. And if Izar does it, so that it is possible, the Zar is higher Misa Bishamani. That's why Rav Buchner was very, very marked in the area of guiding Talmidim. That was the Melechus HaKidesh in his mind. And that was in conformity to the Aloche. That was in conformity to what Rav Chaim says in the Rambam. Hadlokes HaNeiris is not an Avide. Hadlokes HaNeiris can be done even Chutz Leicha. But, Hadlokes HaNeiris, cleaning out the sinless, cleaning out the old consumed oil, cleaning out that which is unadapted, which is not conducive to a good light, and putting in the right oil, in the right way, in the right place, in the right position. That is an aveide. That can be done only in the Heichel. With neither with me, not with us. And that's why he was so successful. And I just want to mention about Rav Buchner, the Maimah Chazal, that Chazal say on the Sedra, or Vayitzi Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayilech Arono. So Rashi says, Lo Yotzorich Nichtiv Ito Lo Vayilech Yaakov Arono, Ki Lo Bo Yizkiyo Yitzi Mosei, Elo Magid Che Yitzi Asadik Min Amokim, Eise Rishem, שבזמן שהצדיק בעיר, הוא הידו, הוא זיבו עדו. יוצא, משום, פונו הידו, פונו זיבו, פונו עדו. So, חזל, that's a חזל, it's a מדרש. חזל mention three things. פונו הידי, פונו זיבי, פונו עדו. As long as the צדיק is in a certain place, so we have the hay, we have the zib, we have the hodo. And when the tzaddik departs from the place, so the heat departs, the zeal departs, the hodo departs. The Goyim says in his Pirush Yishayah, so he says that when people talk of Shemes HaMidofim, it's a mistake, it's a myth. There is no such thing as Shemes HaMidofim. We call certain words Sosin, Simcho, Gilo, Rino, Dito, Hedlo, because there is a similarity in the meaning of these terms. But each term in Lashon HaKodesh has its own peculiar denotation. Sosin is not exactly Simcho. Simcho is not Dito, it's not Hedlo, it's not Gilo. There are no Shemes HaMidofim. So in Chazal mentioned, they emphasize three terms. That means that they represent separate phenomena. What's the difference between Huido and Zivonado? But in physics, they are three phenomena. There is the phenomenon of reflection, and there is the phenomenon of refraction, and there is the phenomenon of diffraction. What is reflection? Reflection is the change of direction that a ray of light experiences when it strikes upon a surface and is thrown back into the same medium from which it approached. That's reflection. What is refraction? The chiaras and senses. It's the bending of a ray of light as it passes obliquely from one medium to another, or through layers of different density in the same medium. And what is diffraction? So that's the breaking up of a ray of light into the colors of the spectrum caused by the interference of one part of a beam with another when the ray is deflected at the edge of an opaque object. Now we see the rainbow. So then there is the spectrum of colors. You have in the rainbow, you have the phenomenon of refraction, and you have the phenomenon of diffraction, because you have the breakup of a ray of light into the spectrum of colors. I think that hate is synonymous with reflection, and there is a riot, because the Pasuk says in Pinchas, עמדתו איסי לפני הרוז הרקרים ולפני כל העידו וציביסו איסו אלוהינר ונוסעתו מהית חולו למנגיש לנו כל העז מישראל ונוסעתו מהית חולו. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says פני מישה כתני חמו פני ישוע כתני לבן, and Chazal deduce it from the posig ונוסעתו מהית חולו. So it's the relationship between the Chamo and the Levon. Everybody knows, one does not have to be a scientist, an astronomer, to know that the Levon does not emanate the light, its own light, but the Levon itself is not a luminous body. Originally, at the outset of creation, so Chazal tells us, it was a luminous body, but before the culmination and the consummation of the creation process, so it was deprived of its luminosity. So now the Levone is a non-luminous body, but how is it that it sheds light? Through the process of reflection. And Chazal say, it used from the posuk v'nosato mehoit cholo pnei Moshe pnei Chamo pnei Yeshua pnei Levono. So that shows that hoy means reflection. And then Ziv, I think, has that correspondence with refraction. And Hodor really means beauty. Hodor. So we say in the Piyut that was composed by none other than Rashi, in the Piyut of the Aveide, Agim HaKippurim, Kimare HaKishis, Bisich Onon Mare Kien. In other words, the Mara Keshes, the vision, the spectacle of a rainbow with the stars represents the epitome of beauty. Nothing could be more beautiful than the spectacle of the rainbow with, as the ray of light breaks up into the individual component colors. So that's beauty. So that's Hodor. So Pono Heide means Kozman Shetzadibir, Yeshem, there is the process of reflection, and there is Zin, there is a process of reflection, and there is Hodor, there is a process of diffraction. But Yotzo HaTzadik Mino Eilom, Pono Heide, Pono Zive, Pono Hador. הרב הופנס תלמידים, וואו, רבי שמור תחש, אין דאותה, מצלחות. בוא ננסה. הרב הופנס רבי, וואו, רבי שמור תחש, אין דאותה מצלחות, גם לא תהיש. They, as compared with the task that Rav Hupner himself had here, when he started to plant Torah on the American continent. So he's rabbein, Mishmotre, and Rabbi Hirsch, he had other rabbein too. Because Rabbi Huttner, while he was a Talmid in Slabodka, he was accustomed to visit Rabbonim there. And one of the ways how he captivated my imagination as a child before Bar Mitzvah was by telling me stories about Rav Kook, about his Chaim Zonkel, about his Dechemet, and about his own uncle, who was Rav Neishishok. His name was also Huttner. He told me a story. I mean, it had a great impact upon him. So his own uncle, who was Rav Neishishok, he was one of them, his great uncle. So at old age, he had trouble with his eyes. So then the doctor told him that he has to minimize and learn. He can't use his eyes. So he says, if he doesn't minimize the learning, he might have to show him become totally blind. So the Ishikarov, I forgot his first name, but his family name was Huttner. So the Ishikarov said to the doctor, if I can't learn, Salam Alechaim, what I'm looking for. So my life isn't worth anything. And really, it's what the Rambam says in the Chesetia Hashmiras Nefesh, because the halacha of Sifri says, v'choy, that Ritzia B'Shevi has to go to our mikvot, v'choy. So Talmid, so Harav Shegolo, Migalin Talmid of Imei. So the Rambam explains it. פרק זיין מלכס רצי הראש נעס נפש, הלוך העל. תלמיד שגולו לי המקוות, מגלין רבי אימי, שנמה וחי, עשה לי כדי שיחיה, וחי בא לחוכמו ובקשר, ולא יתן מכירו כי מי סוח שורים, וכי מרף שגולו מגלין שבסים. So what? It's really a rambam. וחי בא לחוכמו ובקשר, ולא יתן מכירו כי מי סוח שורים. The same thing, he just paraphrased it. He told it to the doctor. I don't know whether it made an impression upon the doctor, but it certainly made an impression upon me. In many days and nights, I thought of this remarkable saying by the Ishi Shekaro. So he had many rabbis. It's not, he was not just a Talmid or Rabbi Shemotchem. Shemotchem was the Rosh Hashiva in Slabodka. Rabbi Hirsch was the Nail Ruchni, the Mashgiach, but he used to go to the Kognerov when he spent hours. I remember when he arrived in Warsaw after Pesach in 1929, that was just a few months before the Hebrew pogrom. So my father was still in Warsaw. So then he came into my father one time and my father talked to him learning and explained to him. So he started to come to my father's house every day. Every day. And he used to come and my father used to talk to him learning. So because he wanted to draw knowledge, he was always sheisebat somot, divrei chachom. So he had many rebbeim, but all the rebbeim that he had, the Kognerov or Mishmotchem of Hirsch, their task in raising Talmidim vis-a-vis the task of Rav Huttner was relatively easy. They only, in order to plan Torah, they only had to resort to the phenomenon of reflection. What is reflection? Reflection means the change of direction that a ray of light experiences when it strikes upon its surface and is thrown back into the same medium from which it approached. The Talmidim that to whom they had to impart Torah knowledge, Musar, were in the same medium. They were in the same medium as Rav Mishmotchem, as Rav Noti Hirsch,
as a Chalmeizer, as a Kovnarov. There was no different medium. It's the same density. Of refreshing, it's a very easy burden, a very easy test. But, Rabbi Kuttner, when you arrived in America, I remember, when I became a Rabbi in Chaim Berlin, that was years later, so there were a number of Talmidim who came from homes, not only where Shabbos was not observed, because fathers were atheists, anti-religious, communists. One time, he became so involved in learning. And how did he become so involved in learning? Because of the impact that Rabbi Kuttner had upon him. Not through Advocas Aneiris. Through Advocas Aneiris, he could not have had this impact, but through Advocas Aneiris, by preoccupying himself personally, with all the problems, all the narishkeit of the town. And so he was able to have such an impact upon the Talmidim. So Rabbi Kuttner had to adapt a drastic method of refraction. He had to go through a process of the bending of rays of light, of Shpiras and its agents. The rays of the Torah light had to change the direction from the medium of the shtetl in Eishishok and in Tels and in Slabotke and in Kovne to the medium of New York. And for the second street, Brownsville and New York, it's a different medium altogether. And not only did Rabbi Kuttner have to cope with Talmidim who were raised in a different medium, but he had to cope with Talmudim who were like opaque bodies, who refused to allow their sights to absorb the rays of Torah. So he didn't say, like the experts, Miloy Koneze, holy family. Miloy Koneze, holy family. What's the use of bothering with these families? No use. Not allowed to give up hope, to abandon a single Jew. This is the excellence of the Lubavitch. They're not mafkir any Jew. Even if he's a Talmid on the campus, who demonstrates against Israel and on behalf of the PLO, but Lubavitch refuses to abandon him. He cannot be abandoned either. He must be coped with. But how can you cope with it? He's so opaque. He's an admirer of Arafat. No. Through classes of diffraction, so the light of Torah can reach even those students who are opaque bodies, who refuse to allow to their souls to absorb the light of God. But only you have to do sacrifices, and you have to be ready to preoccupy yourself with personal people, with Aktobas Aneiris. And this is the Aveda that is Kiddush Kadoshim in a Rabbi Kuttner. Kuttner refused to accept this assertion by the experts, Miloy Koneze O Mikvani, Miloy Koneze Roli Zesim, but Miloy Koneze in Roli Kvani, Miloy Koneze O Lahu Yonisak. Every piece of land is raw for planting Torah, but something for life. Bificho, if tzeliotik is sicho, in Kriya Shemayim, in order to plant Torah, you have to act the way a planter acts. It's not enough to throw in seeds. You have to throw in seeds. Many seeds don't culminate in plantation, but some of the seeds that are husked to the ground culminate in a plantation tree. And even when it starts to germinate, so you're not sure that it will result in a tree. And even if it results in a tree, so you have to watch out against all kinds of insects and be preoccupied yourself with each and every common individual, because of the numerous and multifarious spiritual snakes and scorpions that lurk in modern society and even in the sight of modern men. And there is a lot of unclean oil that has to be cleaned out, thrown away. But how do you clean out the vegetation? Only by people that are clever scientists and be successful in raising the generation of the Torah. He really wants a revolution in the Torah world. He is Yechabah.